Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful, fine day. The Walk the Talk with Kim show is brought to you by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation, a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson promise. I'm really excited today. First of all, I want to remind everybody that on October 21st at 8 a.m. until noon, we're Walk the Talk listeners are going to be meeting at Dirtfish Driving School, and we are going to learn about fear and stress, how this brings out the worst in people and the worst in us. We're going to talk about destructive behaviors like procrastination, lack of motivation, shutting down, heightened defensiveness, and all these other hallmarks of behaviors for fear and stress. And then we're going to strap you into a rally car behind the wheel to simulate the fear and stress that we're going to feel. But you're going to have some tools to learn on how to deal with it and to remove the fear and stress and actually use those as tools to be able to function high and make the best decisions and be innovative. So you can find out more information on that event on walkthetalkforsuccess.com, or you can go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and find more information as well. We'll be talking a little bit more about that as it comes, but put that down October 21st. And for Walk the Talk listeners, you get a 25% discount by using the promo code POWERFUL. So we're excited to have you join us. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing really well. Still filling in for Eric, who will be rejoining us maybe as early as tomorrow. Wouldn't that be something?
Well, I won't be here tomorrow, but he might be here tomorrow.
That's right. But he'll definitely be back next week.
Excellent. We'll get to see him. But you have done an absolutely fantastic job for us, so we're very lucky to have you.
Well, I appreciate that. It's our pleasure.
I'm a bit torn. I adore Eric, but you've been doing an excellent job for us as well. So please come back and visit us more often.
It's not goodbye. It's see you next time.
See you next time. Yeah, exactly. Well, we really appreciate it. Well, I wanted to welcome our guest with us today. It is Stephanie Lurig, the executive director of an organization called Art with Heart. And also joining us is Gabe Meyer. He is the marketing director for Art with Heart. And I want to talk more about this organization as we go through in the psychological piece of this or the therapeutic piece of this. I first was introduced to this organization from a friend of mine that said, you know, I know you do the radio show and I just have this incredible organization that does these really great things I want you to talk to. And I thought, okay, great. We'll put them on the list. I get a lot of requests for people wanting to be on the show because we're, you know, doing a lot of there's a lot of nonprofit organizations that need help. But when I sat down and I looked at what it is that this organization does, I got really, really excited. And I thought, I'm going to plan many shows around just your organization, because there's so many pieces of this that are near and dear to my heart. So, Stephanie, tell us, what is Art with Heart?
Well, Art with Heart is a nonprofit organization. It started here in Seattle. Although we're locally based, we do have books that are based in art therapy, and they are around the world. Mm-hmm. There's people in South Africa using them. There's people here in our own backyard using them to help kids who are dealing with a lot of crisis.
So these are children that are sick, facing trauma,
facing
divorce.
Everything from divorce to losing their entire family to foster care. And, you know, whatever you can imagine would be traumatic for a child. That's who we serve.
And how did you get started in this?
I'm a graphic designer by trade. And when I first moved up here from Arizona, I got involved with a local organization called the AIGA, American Institute of Graphic Arts. They're a local branch of a national community organization. And I joined the board and told the president I just wanted to use my talent to give back to the community. And so he said, great, I've got a position for you. And so I started, and he said, you know, I don't know what you're going to do, but whatever you want to do, you have 80 volunteers waiting for you to tell them what to do. So all of a sudden, I had a blank slate and a lot of volunteers waiting. So there's a lot of responsibility and a lot of pressure at the time. So so it was really just about trying to figure out how we could get the creative community involved with kids at large.
And how did the idea form to create a workbook or a art book for children? How did that come about? Did you just have an idea in your head, or was it through discussion?
Well, we had been serving homeless kids by feeding them creative meals. It was ways for artists to get out of their studio and do something different. And we'd been doing that for many years. And at one point, my boss said, I have somebody you need to meet because I think Art with Heart could help kids like this as well. And she introduced me to a friend, Peggy, who had a little friend named Hallie, who had been in the hospital since, well, she had been diagnosed with neuroblastoma when she was 12 months old. And when I heard about her, she was five. Just her plight, struggling against the same cancer that kept coming back and kept coming back, just really touched my heart. And I just tried to figure out a way to do something, and every turn was thwarted. Everything that I thought we could do to help kids in the hospital, we were told, no, their immune systems are too weak. You can't come in here and just do art with them.
You mean trying to do art programs where they would hold a brush? And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And so I remember going to bed one night really frustrated, just really wanting to help kids like Hallie, and having a really vivid, amazing dream that said, you're going to put together a book, and this is what it's going to look like, and this is what's going to be. And when I woke up, I was like, oh my gosh. And I happened to have a friend who happened to be on the board of directors for the National Illustration Conference. And part of the dream was that it wasn't just going to be one artist or one person's vision of what this book could be, but many. It was all about collaboration, mm-hmm. and bringing in artists from all over the world to participate. And so the first iteration ended up being 97 illustrators, everyone doing a different page. And we got to include the woman who does the Harry Potter books.
Wow.
So really top-notch names, really beautiful artwork. And the idea was that it was therapy, but because it didn't look like therapy, it was going to work because the kids were going to embrace it and be excited to get it.
So can you give us an example of what a page might look like? I know this is radio, so we can't really show people what it looks like, although you can go to artwithheart.org,
yes.
and there's videos there, and you can actually see the books. But describe for our listeners what a page might look like, for example, that would help with healing or with something that a child was going through.
Yeah, well, like you said, it's a little hard to describe, so you have to kind of use your imagination. But so top-notch illustrators whose work the kids are going to recognize from kids' games, kids' magazines, TV, different things like that. So really high-quality, beautiful artwork. And the pages are really, really inviting. They invite the child to put their mark, to put what's in their heart down on the paper. There's one page in our Oodles of Doodles book for hospitalized children that invites kids to write down the things that are in their, that they really want to ask, but they're too scared to ask their doctor or their parents. So it's a page to really put their fears.
Mm-hmm.
There's another page that asks them what their dreams are. There's another page that asks them what their wishes are. So all of these are going to elicit different responses from the kids. And those kids who are hospitalized have a lot of time and are pretty bored. And they're also dealing with being really scared. And mm-hmm. oftentimes they're very alone. So this book becomes their companion.
And was Oodles of Doodles, was that the first book?
That was the first book inspired by Hallie. And then we realized that this was something unique in the world that we could offer. And so we started to develop other books as well. Our other book is called Magnificent Marvelous Me. And it started out to be a book for the siblings of hospitalized children. And after helping 5,000 kids internationally through that book, we started to get feedback from people that said, you know, I'm using it with my kids that I'm serving, and they're in foster care. They're not hospitalized. They don't have a sibling who has a disability or a chronic illness. And I'm finding this book to be really, really helpful. And so we re-looked at it when it came time to reprint. And we partnered with Committee for Children, who specializes in creating anti-bullying and anti-violence curriculum. And they're all about social-emotional growth for kids. And so we re-looked at all the activities and figured out a way to broaden the audience and really be able to help more kids, to help more kids.
We're going to talk more when we come back about where people can get these books or where people find these books and in institutions, and more about your organization and the wonderful work. But if people did want to look at the books or even purchase the books, if you know of a child who is struggling or who is sick or facing, you know, divorce or drug issues or any of those kinds of things, you have a book for that. And they can go to, your website?
Artwithheart.org.
Yeah, pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Artwithheart.org. And we'll put that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim website. But we did also want to mention that you do have an event coming up. Gabe, you want to tell us about that event?
We do. So we have lots of programs for helping kids. And one of the main ways we raise money for these programs is putting on fun events. And we have an event coming up called Chef Showdown. It's a competitive plates competition. And we have all these famous chefs in town who are going to be coming and basically putting on like a Top Chef type competition where all the attendees get to taste and vote on what they think is the best dish. So that will be October 6th. It's going to be in South Lake Union at the 415 building, and it's going to sell out. So go online and buy your tickets soon.
And we'll make sure we put that down too. So, and the price is very reasonable. And you've got Dylan Joran, Angie Roberts, John Sudstrom, and Martin Woods are all famous chefs are going to come and duke it out. And so that should be really fun and exciting.
And delicious.
And delicious and wonderful. And wine and all kinds of other really great things happening. And the proceeds to this go to the program, your nonprofit organization, Art with Heart, to provide what we're going to talk about when we come back from the break about how these books are helping and where they're distributed and more information on the books. Great. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM Alternative Talk 1150. Welcome back, and we're going to be talking more with Art with Heart.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg says building resilience in children is one of the best gifts you can give them. Please join Vicki next Monday at noon Pacific.
Radio with no added hormones or preservatives. All natural, alternative talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Arellano, and we are talking with Stephanie Lurig and Gabe Meyer of Art with Heart. This is an organization that provides therapeutic books to children that are facing terminal diseases or long-term hospitalization, as well as children that have dealt with trauma, could be a divorce, could be drug and alcohol abuse, could be abuse in the family, all different kinds of ways that our kids are hurting. And these books are really designed to help kids heal. And I know, as someone who deals with the brain, that we've got the two sides of our brain. We've got our, you know, very creative right brain and our very analytical left brain. And to ask people to describe something incredibly emotional is difficult for adults. And I know that the only way that I can describe it is if you've ever had children, try to describe to somebody who's never had children what it's like to have children. They think they understand, but they don't. You can't describe it with words. So I can only imagine what it must be like for children that are facing these horrors to be able to talk. And traditional therapeutic sessions would be incredibly difficult for many of these kids. How does art help them? I mean, we make the logical connection, mm-hmm. but what are some of the ways that art is different from a therapeutic perspective than traditional therapies for children?
Well, I think the easiest example would be, you know, anybody who's ever talked to a teenager, how are you? Okay. You know, they're not going to tell you what's really in their hearts. I had a really hard day and such picked on me. So they've got a lot in their hearts. They just don't have the words for it, right? Something about art, I think because we were all innately born artists, we all have ways of expressing ourselves, whether that's through physical means and whether that's, photography, sewing, all sorts of different skills that creativity just really helps us get what's in our heart out. Even just as a student, you probably doodled in the margins of your math notebook how much you hated your math teacher, you know, but it felt good. You couldn't tell him how much you hated him, but you could draw.
It was represented well, know, in my math book.
Yes, exactly. So there's just something amazing about art. It connects from your brain to your heart, and it just flows out your hands. We had a foster care child who was 13 years old. He was in a residential treatment center, and this was a lockdown facility. They were not allowed out off the premises. He had done something that had put his foster care mom in the hospital, and they couldn't handle him. And I met him. He was my size, just a little thing, and I couldn't imagine the rage that ended up locking him up. But he had it in his heart because he had been abused so many times by adults. What he told us was that when he worked in his Chill and Spill book, which is our ones for teens and tweens, it flowed from his head to his heart and through his hand into the pencil and onto the paper. He was just able to somehow, it just became this fluid connection where when you're speaking from your head, you edit yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that to this person because they might judge me or I don't have the words for that. But if it comes right from your heart, if the art can just take over, it reveals so much, so much.
It's amazing. You can even ask an individual, what do you want? Mm-hmm. And that gets people stuck. But
yeah.
I tell my business clients, draw what you want. And it's amazing that they aren't even really conscious of what's coming out of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not magic. There's something deeper than that. It's innate, and it's something that's really powerful, really, really powerful.
How long have you been doing this work, Stephanie?
15 years.
And did you know 15 years ago when you were, that this was how it was going to end up or what you were going to be doing?
No, I wanted to be a graphic designer ever since I was in sixth grade, and that was the only thing I ever wanted for my life. And having the opportunity at the AIGA just really changed everything for me. And really what changed everything was meeting Hallie, meeting her, and just something about her and her situation. She was in the hospital in and out for over almost 10 years. And to spend most of your childhood in that way, it's just, something really touched me.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of Hallie in these books.
Yeah.
I would assume. Yeah.
And, once we started working with homeless kids and then with sick kids, and it just expanded and grew. And, you just can't help loving changing kids' lives.
Right. Very good. So how do you help? So we've got the books. Mm-hmm. And so now how do the books get in the hands of the kids?
Well, we have community partners. Our books are available online at artwithheart.org. And kids can, or therapists often find us because they don't have the tools. They can't find the tools that help them talk to the kids who don't want to talk to them. They have challenges in reaching all these kids, especially those who don't trust adults. And so oftentimes people just Google heart healing or art healing and kids, and they do find us. So we also have partners in the community and beyond who utilize our books to increase the effectiveness with the kids that they serve.
I think it's so incredibly important, and I warned you that I might go on a soapbox, and here it is.
All right.
And I've talked about this before, about how our educational system is depriving and starving our children of an incredible opportunity mm-hmm. for growth and development. And it really has to do with the cutting of the art programs. I know my school, my kids go to, they don't have an art program. So the PTA pays for an artist to give them an art program. And I can only imagine, and we're from a pretty affluent school. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine kids that are homeless, you know, no education or little education or a little grounding to be able to be grounded in education. Yeah. This might be the first time ever that they have an opportunity to really express how they feel about anything ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, kids will express themselves, but oftentimes they choose the wrong ways to do
right.
it. The destructive ways to do it. You know, crime is, you know, oftentimes a passion of the heart. It's a way of expressing how they're not happy with something. And so to be able to take that negative energy and put pen to paper or paintbrush to canvas or whatever, and be able to take it out mm-hmm. in a way that's going to be healthy. And you might not always like what you see when you're done, but what's going to happen is now you can see it.
Right. And you can focus on that. So you raise money and you raise funding, and there's other things that you need to, which we'll talk about in just a minute, to help with the organization. But that puts these books in the hands of those kids that otherwise would not have had the resources available to go through these. Mm-hmm. What's another story? I know you told me you have lots of stories. I want to hear another story about how a child, you know, that was facing, you know, jail time or any of those issues that was helped by this.
I'll mention one of my favorite stories because it kind of speaks to the effectiveness of the books and what you're talking about the art being able to communicate pretty deep emotions that lead to actually behavioral change or to improving. So there's this one boy who also used Chill and Spill. Chill and Spill is the most interesting book because it's really much more like a journal where mm-hmm. The kids really get to work their way through it. There are activities in there. I've done the activities, and it opens my eyes to myself.
I was telling you guys that I think that I might actually get these books and use them on my adult clients because there's some really good things in here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I digress from your story, but...
Well, I mean, on that point, our tagline is we help kids in crisis, and, you know, I think most people think being a teenager is pretty much being in a time of crisis, you know? And so they're for teenagers mostly, but... One boy drew a picture, and it was a picture of himself. It calls for you to write how you see yourself or draw how you see yourself. And he wrote this picture of himself, and at the bottom he had his fists, and his fists were actually on fire. So he had drawn fire around his fists, and his child therapist was like, "Well, what does this mean?" And he said, "Well, when I get angry, my fists start to burn. And when I get angry and my fists start to burn, I start to hit. And I punch and I fight and that's how I get out my anger." And so it was so cool that the therapist could talk to him about, well, what are you going to do the next time your fists start to burn? And the next time you could feel yourself getting in that way? And what are some more positive ways to work your way out of mm-hmm. that anger and that rage? Which was, you know, exactly what they're meant to do is help the kids get in much more touch with their emotions, have self-awareness, have that ability to communicate with their therapist and really, you know, change their behavior.
And otherwise would not have been able to say anything because,
right.
you know, how are you going to communicate? You know, I can just imagine a 14-year-old saying, "Well, I get really, really mad and I want to hit somebody." You know, where do you go from there? Mm-hmm. But when you can draw a picture that, you know, that I can imagine would just show a real stark picture.
Yeah, and I think the remarkable part about that was that the therapists were not able to get him to stop until this aha moment when he was able to draw mm-hmm. what his physical reaction was to a trigger, something that set him off. He had never realized that before. So it ended up being the keys to the kingdom for his behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
And the therapist was able to utilize that and get him to stop getting himself into trouble.
Right.
And that's what his goal was, too.
So tell me then how this applies for kids that are terminal. So we've talked about kids that have these really deep, you know, anger emotion issues. Do you see any difference in the types of drawings when you're talking about children that are in emotional or health issues, I guess is yeah, health issues?
Yeah. You know, every drawing, every doodle is unique. So, it just really reflects what's in their heart at that moment. They could come back to the same page time and time again, and it'll never look the same. Mm. You know what I mean? Depending on what's on their heart that day. But what we find is that these books and the ability to learn how to cope with the difficulties that are inevitably going to be coming their way, that's the skill that we're teaching. Utilize art, utilize writing instead of punching or hitting or, you know, or just keeping it inside, which is just as damaging. We had a story all the way from South Africa of a little girl, 14 years old, I believe, who was raped in Soweto. And her community worker knew about the rape, but she wouldn't talk to anybody about it. And she was, of course, terrified and very, very disturbed by all of it. And she started in on the Chill and Spill activity book with a group of other girls who also had many different traumas as well. And the community worker credits Chill and Spill as being able to help her talk about what happened, talk about the rapist, and that eventually led to him going to jail.
Mm.
So these books are changing kids' lives. And we have a recent story about a little boy who was in the hospital because of an ATV accident. They needed to take his arm off, his right arm, which is, of course, what he wrote with. And he was 7. And our Art with Heart volunteer was in the hospital at Harborview and worked with him, gave him the Oodles of Doodles book. And without hesitation, as soon as he was offered the book, he took the pen cap off the marker with his left hand and his mouth and just dove right in and was as careful as could be to try to color in the lines and just really start to express and to kind of normalize his new life without his arm. And our volunteer was just, of course, just right. Very moved.
She needed her own Chill and Spill
book
to handle that moment.
Yes,
didn't she
did. Yes, she did. But what was so beautiful about it was it became part of his physical therapy as well.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Sure.
And so we have kids who we get letters, and I have a letter in front of me from a 17-year-old from Baltimore, Maryland, who wrote to us and said, "I'm 17. I'm dealing with cancer in the beginning of this year, but I'm in remission now, thank God. Before I started this book, I felt worried. After I finished this book, I felt content and happy. This book helped me in a way you couldn't have imagined it did. By writing down all my feelings in this book, it helped me feel content and happy, and it helped me grow from my experience and look back at this year and say how much I've grown from my experience, not that was the year I was sick."
Wow.
I know. We get these amazing letters.
Chilling.
They are just, yeah. I don't know, we're doing something really exciting. And we're using art to do it.
Well, I'm glad you came on the show today, and we'll be talking more when we come back from the break. I want to talk a little bit more about volunteering and how people can help your organization and how folks can learn more about it. And again, you can go to artwithheart.org to learn more information. And don't forget to get your tickets to the Chef Showdown that is happening on October 6th. 2011. You can get information for that event on artwithheart.org. And I'll also post more information on the Walk the Talk with Kim website. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're going to take a break, but we're going to come back and talk more with Stephanie and Gabe. Thank you for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg says building resilience in children is one of the best gifts you can give them. Please join Vicki next Monday at noon Pacific.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fixed weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. And, you know, the best thing about my job is I get this opportunity to learn about all these really great organizations and this incredible work that people are doing. And it just warms my heart that we have such an incredible program on the show with us today. I'm really honored that you're here. Thank you, Stephanie. Oh,
thank you,
Gabe, for being here. I really appreciate it, for sharing. It's the one thing about radio is you hear the authenticity and you hear what people are saying. You can't see these books and what we're looking at. But I do want to describe them a little bit more because I think the first thing that I noticed is the substance to these books. I mean, they're not, you know, you think of a little coloring book or something you get from the fire department. These are not like that at all. These are very beautifully well done, heavy, thick paper. The only thing that I can think of is what an incredible gift to have this, you know, for a child's entire life that they can go back and look at, you know, a place and be reminded that they've moved through a struggle. I was also thinking a little bit morbidly, but how beautiful it would be for a parent who loses a child that has this, that they can keep forever, mm-hmm. that they never would have. I mean, what a gift your books are giving people. It's just absolutely amazing. But I'm looking at this one book, and it's called Ink All About It, and the whole book is blue.
Yeah.
What's can you explain this book a little bit to me?
Yeah, absolutely. So we get great feedback from therapists, from people who work in the hospital with kids, and others who you know, are working day to day with the children. And we're very open and excited to hear how they're using it, but also what they think and what would be better for our next publication, how we can help bridge the gap for them. And one of the things that we heard was, we really need something for middle schoolers. These tween years are just really difficult. They're right in between being a kid and being an adult, and things are hard for them, and they don't have the words for it. And they're learning to be cool, right? So they don't really want to talk about stuff with adults anymore. So it's an age that it's even more important for adults to be able to relate to kids. And so we had the tween thing in mind. The other thing that the hospitals told us was, these kids love to color, but there's nothing age appropriate. And so they won't be caught dead coloring Barney.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So what we did was we found artists who've done stuff for skateboards and snowboards and just cool, exciting stuff like that, and had them all do one color art and printed it all in this lovely blue, so that from the moment they take the shrink wrap off the book, they can claim it as theirs and color the cover, color every single thing about it. And so it's just part of being able to allow them to express who they are.
It does have that graffiti, you know, peachy with the pen, you know, because you're right. When we were in middle school, we didn't have crayons or colored pencils. We decorated our peachies with pens.
Yep. Yeah. And it's Bic Pen Blue.
Yeah, that's exactly the color that it is. And it's just absolutely beautiful. I see things in here about gratitude and all kinds of wonderful goals and things and ideas for these kids. And like I said, I think any kid really could benefit from some of this. Parents could sit with their kids. Mm-hmm. But you had mentioned something about volunteering, that people can volunteer. What would a volunteer do?
Well, we have a program called Art Buddy, and we're teaching people how to help kids in the hospital using art, and specifically how to use our books with kids in the hospital as kind of a starting point for a relationship. And our next training is coming up on October 13th, and it's at Swedish Hospital. More details are at our events page at artwithheart.org. We've been running this pilot program for a couple years now, and it's expanded to Harborview as well. So we have volunteers in the burn unit at Harborview, bringing the books and bringing art to kids who are dealing with trauma and dealing with being sick.
And you need to be a licensed therapist to
No, this is for anybody who is interested in working with hospitalized kids. Once they go through our training, or they also need to go through the hospital's training to become, not legal, but, be able to be there and do all the right things.
Right.
Yeah, to be approved.
Yes. Very, very good.
But I also wanted to mention about ways for people to help.
Yeah.
So we primarily work with schools, with like after school programs, kind of social service organizations, and hospitals. And many times throughout our past, we've had kind of big partnerships when something might go wrong. Like we had one school a few years ago where one of the school children was hurt, or was killed actually, by a garbage truck. And it was really sad, and it was really a dramatic experience for that school. But the company had heard about Art with Heart and had heard about the effectiveness of our books, and had actually bought the whole student body one of our books to kind of work through that trauma. We also had an experience with a school in California, and this was a funny one because it just happened to show up on the website one day, where they were closing down a school, and it was kind of a sudden closing, and the principal, again, was familiar with Chill and Spill, knew that kids were going through a lot, and he ended up purchasing something like 500 books to work through the kids through. So the ways that people can help is if they have these connections, if they hear about something that happens to a community, if they work with their local Boys and Girls Club or certain after-school programs, making the introduction and helping us to talk to those organizations and show them how helpful our books are and how they can really help these students, and if they use them in their programs. That's certainly something we need as a small organization.
Right. So all really great ideas. I'm writing this down because as a person who's in the community, I can talk to that person. I can talk to that person. I can talk to that person. The books themselves, when people purchase the books on the website, I notice that it says 100% of the amount goes towards the program. So what does the program actually pay for? Do you give books or donate books to these organizations, or how does that all work?
When we first got started, we ended up donating 20,000 copies of Oodles to hospitals around the world. Mm-hmm. That was 1996. Now, because resources are a little more limited than they were 15 years ago, unfortunately, we have to be a little bit more, picky. We wait for people to donate to us so that we can donate to others. Mm-hmm. Other organizations have budgets and then put it towards the purchase of these books. But basically, we've priced the books so that they're basically our cost to supply them.
So what's the typical cost of these books?
If you just buy one, let's say Chill and Spill, it's basically $19-$20. Mm-hmm. If you buy in larger quantities, we have bulk discount prices that are pretty reasonable, that bring the price down a lot.
Great. So there's four books total?
There's four books, and then we have a companion to Chill and Spill, an educator's companion, mm-hmm. and a therapist companion to teach facilitators how to utilize it with kids who are dealing with crisis.
Wonderful. So you've got Magnificent Marvelous Me.
Yeah.
And that one's for what age?
Well, it's for elementary age kids.
Okay. Dealing with trauma?
Dealing with not just trauma. There was a 7-year-old girl in Austin, Texas that we heard from her mom who had said she bought the book for her daughter as a Christmas present. And it took her several months to actually open it and do it. But one day they were sitting on the floor and she started to color. And the mom told us that her daughter was struggling with crippling perfectionism at 7 years old.
Wow.
And what that meant to her was that she wouldn't try anything because she was sure she would fail. Right. And that was in all areas of her life. And it was such a problem that the school counselor had been involved. And the mom had purchased this book hoping that it could, you know, really help her focus on and get past this issue. After they worked on 2 pages, the mom said, "So what do you think? How do you feel?" And the little girl popped up from lying on the ground, threw her arms in the air and yelled, "I am magnificent."
Then immediately
covered her mouth and was like, "Oh my gosh." Like, and tried to self-correct, basically. And the mom was like, no, you are. And they had this amazing conversation.
Wow.
And the mom was able to then bring this book to the school counselor, who could then help her help the daughter even more.
We're going to talk about the other books when we come back, because what an incredible story. And you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We are talking with Stephanie Lorig and Gabe Meyer of Art with Heart. Again, for more information on how to get a hold of these books or find out about this incredible program, go to artwithheart.org. And don't forget about the event that's coming up on October 6th. That's the Chef Showdown. And so get your tickets now for some good food and for some fun. And the proceeds go to put these books in the hands of kids that desperately need it. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on Alternative Talk, KKNW, AM 1150.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Fundraising is fundamental to the success and sustainability of nonprofits. Yet having your staff, volunteers, and board all engaged in this activity is at times difficult. What could you be doing differently? O2 Joy, a consulting and management firm specializing in fundraising, marketing, and communication for the not-for-profit community, can help. Call 425-653-1575. That's 425-653-1575. Or visit O2JoyEnt.com.
Listen to the Marie Manucherry Show, where energy and medicine meet, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. It's intelligent and provocative radio. Tuesdays is Boot Camp for the Soul to help you soar. Thursdays, Marie interviews guests from an incredibly talented lineup. To learn more about Marie and her radio show, visit energyintuitive.com or connect with her on Facebook and Twitter. That's the Marie Manucherry Show, every Tuesday and Thursday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. And we're talking with Stephanie Lorig, the executive director of an organization called Art with Heart, as well as Gabe Meyer, the marketing director of the organization as well. I think I'm getting towards the end of that day where I need a Snickers bar or something, but we start talking this heady stuff and I get a little tired, evidently. But anyway, we wanted to close up the show and talk a little bit more about ways that people can help. But one of the things that I notice as we're talking through is these are books. And you had mentioned that, you know, people might think books are passe. And I was even thinking that, too, going, I wonder if you could do an iPad app for this, you know, or something like that. But you brought up a really great point. And so tell us that point again about the value of these as books.
But you can see right in the beginning of each book, it has a specific spot where the kids get to write, this is their book and only their book. And so therefore, they take ownership both of the actual product, you know, the book mm-hmm. in their hands, but also the emotions that they feel when they work through it, the art that is their own, the kind of their own, you know, problems or things to overcome. I think that it's really interesting about our books. The cool thing is that they're so edgy. They're four kids. They're four teens. They use top level art to do a psychological process to kind of help kids grow through their process. I mean, we as adults, we go to psychologists and they should have a process to help us move through our issues.
The good ones do.
The good ones do. but these books are also really well thought out and are proven to have outcomes. I mean, we've done some major studies that show, especially with Chill and Spill, that kids are better in the end after expressing themselves, using their creativity, using their art to grow.
Just to kind of give you a little overview. So on the book, Ink About It, and this is for the tween folks, and this is the blue one, which I just seem to be drawn to. You've got all these ones with these really great pictures on it, and I just am thrilled. It's the artwork. It's just such high quality. They're just absolutely beautiful books. But the portrait of the artist, and so in you talk about how the kid tends to be, you know, from their perspective, I'm quiet or I'm loud. These are the things that make me happy. I enjoy these things. What would surprise people the most about me, including, you know, who's your safety net? Who do you count on? Where do you go? Who's your role models? And just basically starting to understand from the children's perspective where their foundations are. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that that would be very telling right there. But I know a lot of parents that can't even answer those questions. Even well-adjusted children answer mm-hmm. those questions. Yeah. It seems so simple, but I think that's the genius of the book, is that it's just written in such a way that the kids get it and they understand it, but at the same time, it's meaningful. It's not just cutesy stuff.
Yeah, and we're asking questions that a lot of people are not asking these kids. We had a foster care kid come through one of our art workshops, and at the end, he told his caseworker, gosh, something really changed for me during that workshop. I realized that I'm going to make it. He said, nobody else has ever asked me what power I bring to this world, what beauty I bring to this world, what strengths I have. These questions can change their perspective. Mm-hmm. And even if it's just slightly, just giving them a little bit more self-confidence or giving them a clear idea that it doesn't have to be the way it has been and I can make a change. Even just a slight change in the trajectory of their path will end them up somewhere else very, very different than when they started.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about the therapeutic process, and one of the things that I noticed is this notice and take control, which is something that I work with adult business people. So like I said, I mean, I'm looking at this going, man, there's some of the stuff that I would love to get in front of an executive mm-hmm. and put a pen to paper and say, draw something, don't think about it, let's draw about it. These are incredible questions. I hope you don't mind I'm reading from the book, because these are just really great questions. What goes through my mind when I'm feeling stressed? Now, again, this is a tween that's being asked this question, but this applies. How does my body react when I'm thinking these thoughts? Which of my reactions help the situation and which make it worse? What do I end up doing in stressful situations? What do I avoid doing? What do I dream about doing or maybe wish I could do in a stressful situation? And I challenge anyone that's listening to the show right now to answer some of those questions. I mean, I'm doing a whole seminar on a shameless plug on October 21st that is exactly about that, about what we do during times of fear, ambiguity, and stress. And most of the time, it's completely unconscious. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that we're asking kids to be conscious about their unconscious emotion. I wish we as adults had that opportunity at times to realize how we act upon in the world and how the world really affects us.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we could get all kids everywhere to learn to identify their emotions and cope with them in healthy ways, you know, the world would be a very different place tomorrow.
Yeah, excellent. So again, people can help by going to your website and
I thought of another
donating.
Thing.
Oh, you did?
Help.
Good. More.
We have an excellent board. Our board of directors is very entrepreneurial. I mean, this is a kind of a cool organization because we are growing. We have a product. We're trying to get it out there as far as we can. And so we are always looking for board members though too. We're looking for, if you're listening at home or in your car and you're thinking this is someplace I'd like to help out, you can email gabe@artwithheart.org and I would love to talk to you about being a board member.
I love that. So bring us back full circle, Gabe. Thank you very much, which is why you're in marketing, because you're really good at this. I need you on my show every day. What have you, so you were reluctantly put into or unknowingly put into this executive director. You told me I just wanted to be a graphic artist.
Yeah.
You're an executive director of a nonprofit organization for how many years?
15
years now?
Mm-hmm.
What lesson would have you learned, or what advice would you give other executive directors out there like yourself who didn't go to school to be an executive director or haven't thought about being in the nonprofit world? They found themselves there.
Yeah.
What have you learned?
Tons. I think one of the most important things that I found in personal growth was to find mentors. Find people who've done it before. Find people who understand what you're trying to do. And get them on your side, get them to help you figure it out. And then if you lead with passion, others will follow. One of my favorite things about this position is equipping others to do good, to use their talents to do good. And it's so exciting.
Mm. Absolutely. Wonderful. What about you? You've been in nonprofits for a long time as well, from what we talked about. But you had said something interesting to me. You said, I've been with a lot of real cerebral organizations, mm-hmm. and now here's something that's, you know, very emotional,
right.
And you've been doing that for the last 6 months or so. What kind of advice would you be giving folks that are thinking about either starting a nonprofit or fundraising?
Well, it's funny because this is kind of part of my role at the organization, in that I make sure we are also being strategic. You know what I mean? I mean, when you have...
Yeah, you get those creative types. There's nothing strategic about them, is there? They're kind of all over the place.
Well, you're out there to solve problems and you want to make a difference. And, you know, there are a lot of things to tackle. And so when you work for a nonprofit, it's really easy to say yes to everything. And the best advice I've heard on the saying, because I have that problem, as I say yes to everything too.
Right.
But I've found that the best way to deal with that is say, if I can't say yes or it doesn't necessarily work for me, to help that person find the person who can say yes. I mean, because it really does. I have a network and we have a network and we all are in this together as nonprofit professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to help each other and get and go from there.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody put nonprofit professional in the same sentence before. That's awesome. I like that. I'll have to steal that
from
you.
There's lots of us.
So you told me, yeah. It's a labor of love, right? Or a profession.
Yep.
You had mentioned to me that you love the marketing and the fundraising and mm-hmm. all that aspect of it. And it made me shiver because being a part of a nonprofit organization, I was in sales for 20 years. It's been beaten out of me. I would mm-hmm. much rather just shed it and just not even worry about it and just be creative all the time. But I see a sense of authentic creativity in your ability to market and fundraise.
Right.
I feel that from you. And so help share a little bit with the audience that, you know, maybe like me or like I'm assuming, but I can't make that assumption, but you're an artist. I put you in this bucket, which is really unfair for you. I apologize.
Okay.
But that are living this passion, but they've got to do the necessary evil. They can't continue their passion if they don't have funding coming in the door, right?
Why? And you say necessary evil. That's too strong, isn't it? If you're proud of what you do, then you want other people to support it. And, you know, and so for me, it just makes sense that we're doing good work. And if people appreciate the good work we're doing and want to help with that good work, they'll give money to it. I mean, that's how it goes. I am very strategic in that I want to make our events fun. I think that a lot of times fundraisers try to use guilt or obligation to get money out of people. And I think that that's what makes everybody unhappy, really.
Yeah.
Like, I want to plan an event that people want to go to because it's a fun event and they can feel good that it's supporting something good.
Right.
So that's the thing I think people should remember when raising money, that if you're proud of what you do, then people should be proud of it too, and they're willing to write a check.
That's genius said. So thank you very much. Thank you both, Stephanie and Gabe, for coming on the show today. You guys did a fantastic job. And I'm very excited. I'm going to go online and order my copy of these books because I see a million people I want to bring. Well, not a million, but a few that I want to get this in front of and share some ideas. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. This show will be rebroadcast on walkthetalkwithkim.com. And you can go to walkthetalkwithkim.com to get information on any of our events and our wonderful sponsors, including Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. Thank you so much for listening, and go out there and have a beautiful day. It's a beautiful